WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Three Americans safely back on U.S. soil. They arrived late last night in Texas after enduring years behind bars in China.
Kai Lee, a New York businessman who served 8 years of a 10-year sentence after being wrongfully detained by the Chinese, charged with espionage. John Leung was arrested in China in 2021 for espionage and sentenced to life in prison after reportedly serving as an FBI informant. And Mark Swedan from Houston, arrested on a business trip to China back in 2012. Charged without evidence of drug possession. He was sentenced to death.
ABC's Perry Russum. A number of President-elect Trump's cabinet picks and appointees have been targeted by bomb threats and swatting attacks. The FBI is investigating. Thousands of Lebanese people are returning to their homes as the Israel-Hezbollah ceasefire takes effect. The 60-day truce ends 14 months of fighting. Millions expected to line the parade route in New York City today for the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This is ABC News. Investigators at JFK Airport are now trying to figure out how a person without a plane ticket made it all the way onto a flight to Paris. She was only discovered when a flight attendant noticed her spending a whole lot of time in the bathroom. Here's ABC's Sonia Rincon.
We asked former commercial pilot J.P. Tristani how this could happen. A stowaway without a boarding pass, getting through at least three checkpoints, and onto a full transatlantic flight on one of the two busiest air travel days of the year.
Even standby passengers just don't get on board. You have to go through the gate agent.
A statement from Delta says nothing is of greater importance than matters of safety and security.
Under arrest in the Bahamas, some of the country's top police officials accused of plotting to smuggle cocaine into the U.S. 13 people busted in all. If you live far enough north, you might be able to see Thanksgiving Northern Lights. Experts say several northern states could get a view tonight into tomorrow morning. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Well, Glickhead Weekend's box office haul turned out to be no match for that of Barbenheimer's, but it was still impressive and helped the holiday box office get off to a great start. As expected, Wicked landed in the top spot with a take of $114 million, more than doubling Gladiator 2's haul of $56 million at the gate. Gladiator 2, directed by Ridley Scott and starring Paul Mescal, Connie Nielsen, Denzel Washington, and Pedro Pascal, was never expected to be the top dog, as it was always Oppenheimer to Wicked's Barbie. Wicked slightly exceeded expectations with its box office haul, whereas Gladiator 2 came in just under its expectations. This is becoming a trend in Hollywood where two films coming out at the same time were not necessarily competing against each other, but help each other create a social media phenomenon. Landing in third place in week two of its release was Red One with $13 million. Rounding out the top five were Bonhoeffer, Pastor Spy Assassin, and the resilient Venom, The Last Dance, which came in fifth place with $4 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Packers football tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers playing on Thanksgiving, a tradition that dates back to the 1920s. They host the Dolphins, who feature two of the fastest wide receivers, Tariq Hill, Jalen Waddle, led by quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley.
I mean, you'll see him throw the ball down the field and hit some big plays, but then you'll see a lot of catch and run where in rhythm he's throwing the ball. And it's not just the receivers, it's the backs too. You know, creating some mismatches, getting the ball in space, and letting their guys kind of catch and run. So they do a really good job with that.
College football, the Badgers host the Minnesota Gophers tomorrow at 11 a.m. Luke Fickell says he won't bring in a special speaker to explain the tradition of playing for the Paul Bunyan Axe.
I'm not a guy that brings in people to speak. You know, I mean, we've got guys within this program. We've got guys that it's meant the world to them. They've bled it. There's a lot of guys that you know, are new here that if they don't understand, shame on them, because we talked about it in fall camp. We talked about it in spring football.
That's head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Coming to you all the way from Duck Creek Pub in Hayward is a very special Veterans Day edition of Mino and the Mayor Thanksgiving Show, where the guys want to show their thanks and gratitude to those who have served both in the past and now. Recorded from Veterans Day 2023 and 2024 are stories and interviews from local area veterans. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Hello, Duck Creek VFW. How are we doing on Veterans Day?
What a crowd.
Fantastic. How's the SOS?
That is the stuff on a shingle, because it's a $10,000 fine if we say anything else.
Yeah, having Gino on, I'm bringing out my credit card right now. We've got my man Gino here, Vietnam vet, who has been here for every single morning breakfast during Veterans Day. Haven't you, Gino? And first of all, welcome. It's so good to see you again.
Thank you, brother. Good seeing you.
So, Gino, how many years do you think you've been coming down here to the Duck Creek VFW with your buddies?
Oh, man.
I shouldn't say buddies, with your brothers.
Yeah, my brothers, I would say 20 years.
Because your beard was like dark black.
Well,
then.
No.
Remember that?
Yeah, yes, it was.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. The stress of being on the show has turned it white.
Well, thank God for shoe polish.
Hey, Gene, I just want to talk a little bit about you. We always talk about experiences and things like that and what it was like when you guys came back. Just a little background. How did you end up in the Air Cav and then in Vietnam?
Well, what happened was how I ended up in the Army was all my brothers were, they were already in the Army. Got my draft notice. I was the last one. And my dad took me down to Nicolet Drive, and we were overlooking the bay, and he said, you know, son, that war in Vietnam is a bunch of BS. He shoved an envelope across to me with $1,000 in it. And I looked at him. I said, Dad, what's $1,000 for? He goes, well, if you happen to go to Canada, I'll love you just as much in Canada as I do here. And I put the envelope back, and I said, well, Dad, I think I watched one too many John Wayne movies, so I got to go.
Did you? Was there any hesitation at all? Did you give
none,
it any?
None whatsoever. When I went in, I went to Fort Campbell, Kentucky for my basic training. From Fort Campbell, Kentucky, I went to Fort Belvoir, Virginia, and I graduated out of helicopter training school with the highest academic award from that school. And then from there, I went to Vietnam. And I ended up doing three tours back-to-back, 1969, 1970, 1971.
What type of helicopters were you in, Gino?
We had Loaches, which was a light observation helicopter. We had the Hueys, and we had Cobra gunships. So that's kind of what they call the pink team, and that's what we ran most of the time. So I was in the 1st Aviation Brigade, and they did 12 million sorties in Vietnam altogether from the beginning to the end. We had a lot of commissioned officers flying Chinooks and the Hueys and the Cobras and so forth. But I was in a little Loach in the back seat, being able to fly over beautiful Vietnam and see all the countryside.
You guys were almost scouts in the air. Weren't you almost like advanced scouts in the air in some
ways?
Yeah,
that's what we were. We had a left front seat. We had an observer gunner. We hung a 60 there. We had a pilot on the right, and I was in a little back seat that probably couldn't stop a BB gun, but then I had all my stuff in the back, the smoke grenades and the Willie Peter, that's white phosphorus grenades, and all the stuff I needed. So it was 5 o'clock in the morning, full 500 until dark, usually every day.
Did you guys take fire, or were you guys too hard of a hard target for them to even hit?
No, we took fire, and we had many, many holes in our aircraft. And the funny part was, we'd go in and we'd get an aircraft all patched up, and we'd always laugh because when we put it back on and take it out on the first flight, within 2 days, it would be shot full of holes again.
Your recall on that is like yesterday, and it's nice that you're freely talking about this. Did you have some struggles when you came back about sharing these? You know, was it always this easy?
When I came back, it was not very easy, and I had to go take my struggles, and it was arduous journey back. We used to say to get your soul back, so to speak, but it was always the PTSD. I ended up in North Chicago Hospital for that really helped me out a lot. I had a wonderful female doctor, Dr. Reddy, and she was great and really, really helped me.
And I think part of that is what we're doing here at DFW, right? Camaraderie, and you've been a leader in getting your brothers doing this. And you think that's all part of recovering or really getting back into society?
Well, I believe it is. Just to let you know, I ended up doing 20 years altogether. I did after I got out of Vietnam. Then I went into the Army Reserve and the National Guard and did 17 years in there, so paid my time. But all the while, it was the fellowship with my brother, fellow veterans. And when I got home from Nam, we were at Fort McCoy, and the neat thing was I was with a group of guys that were all Vietnam vet returnees. So we were like the craziest, craziest guys at Fort McCoy. And there's many, many stories still alive back there.
I'm sure your dad was a wonderful person, but he kind of read you wrong in that not only did you go to Vietnam, you went for 20 years to serve the country. You know, God bless you for that.
Thank you.
Did he give you the $1,000 anyway?
No. No. No.
Gino, what are some of the things that you did when you came back? And I know you've been very instrumental behind the scenes at helping numerous Vietnam vets, very quietly, very behind the scenes, no publicity. What was the passion for you in doing that?
I think that the passion for doing it was there was a wonderful man. He was in Green Bay, and he was a fellow that I was sent to into the program. I got into a group of Vietnam veterans, and we met every 2 weeks, and that was really good for us to talk about coming back home and, you know, getting our head on straight, and that helped me tremendously. But North Chicago really, I think, did the most help.
Gino, I was with a gentleman yesterday, an Iraq-Afghanistan vet, and he had some issues when he came back, and we were talking at a school addressing this. He said, when you're over there, you're so hyper-vigilant all the time. You never really let your guard down ever. And then all of a sudden, you go from that to normal life over here, but you're still wired. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, I think that being wired is kind of in my DNA, but, you know, we always call it staying with the program and whatever, so always being around Vietnam vets and always helping them whenever I could and having some wonderful, wonderful close friends, Marines, Navy guys, Army guys, it really didn't matter. We're all in one brotherhood. We're all in one fellowship. To me, a veteran is a veteran. It doesn't matter what he did, what he didn't do. Everybody had a job to do. Everybody did the job. And as far as I know, we all love this country. We pray for this country. And we hope that this country can return to what it was formerly.
Wow.
Outstanding. Gino, it's always a pleasure to see you, my friend. And I can't wait to talk to you when I write my next book. You're a featured performer in there. Is that okay?
You got it, brother.
You got it, my man.
You're an inspiration. Yep. Thank you, Gino.
You're the best,
Thank
Gino.
You, brother.
Thank you so much. My man, Gino, here. We're at the Duck Creek VFW. Where are my man, Mike? Uh-oh, the Wolfman made an appearance. The Wolfman Jack is in the house. Look at this. This is a special occasion. Right. Wolfman, you got to come up here real quick. Hey, don't make me come over there and drag you up here physically. I could do it if I had 12 or 13 other guys, just so you know. Got Mike Allen joining us right here. Mike was in a unit that, go ahead.
Second of the 501st Airborne Air Mobile Vietnam. Company got there, the battalion, 1967. They shipped back out in 1972. But we were up in I Corps, Ashaw Valley, Ripcord area, all the fire bases in that area. There's probably about 40 fire bases that we worked around. Once we were out there, we were out there.
I mean, you guys were out there for weeks at a time, right?
Yeah, we were out for weeks, probably 2 months.
Wow. And they would drop you in some supplies?
We get supplies every 3 days if they had the helicopters available. It all depends on what kind of crap our sister battalion or sister companies were involved in. You get a three-day log, you get your water, just kick it out, we pick it all up and pack our rucks and then move on back out. I carried 9 quarts of water, so I carried roughly 130 pounds of munitions and food.
And how much did you weigh at the time?
I weighed 130, so I carried my own weight up and down the mountains.
Okay. You know what? I got a kick out of the Mike in the pictures. Mike has fantastic pictures. Looks like pictures you'd take 10 years ago to get them developed and everything. Yep. And here they are out in the thickest jungle, Viet Cong all around them, North Vietnamese all around them. They're trying to find the Viet Cong. Viet Cong are trying to find them.
Yep.
And it's like, Mike, you guys are sitting right in the middle of the jungle. What are you doing? He's like, oh, we're playing cards.
Yeah, we're playing spades. So you had a little downtime, you'd play spades.
Wow.
Tell us one story. They got ambushed one time, and your good buddy getting shot in the head.
Okay. Yeah, you're on this knoll, and we were there, and we were running out of chow, except for me. I always kept extra crap. Typhoon had hit, so we were socked in, and we were on this knoll. There was a river and stuff like that. A lot of the guys were seeing the NVA rolling around, getting water, and coming back up from the streams. It was socked in, and the typhoon was just starting to kind of lift. And we had to move off of that little knoll. So we were point element, 3rd platoon. I was in 3rd squad. I was assistant 60 gunner. Rudy, he was humping point. Evers was slack, and then me and Big Man with the 60. And took our time getting off because we were pretty freaked out with all the NVA around, so guys were out of chow, so we had to move, get to a nearest fire base. And the NVA were there. They could have took any one of us out at any time, but they always seemed to get a little greedy. So we were far enough apart when we humped off. The end element started to bunch up because Rudy was humping point. He was getting pretty nervous. We had slowed down, and they bunched up, and the NVA opened up on the rear element. I believe they wounded 3 people. And lucky for them and us that clouds were starting to break from the typhoon where they could get that medevac in and get those guys out. But during that time, we were receiving artillery fire from the nearest fire bases. The guys in the rear fired back, but they didn't get any NVA. So after about an hour and a half, 2 hours, we rucked up, and we started to move out real slow. We didn't go about maybe 30 meters, and the NVA opened up on us from the front. Rudy was down on the ground screaming and hollering, don't let them kill me, don't let them kill me. He's hollering, Evers is down, Evers is down. Evers, he had got shot. And so Big Man and I are hollering and screaming at Rudy to stay down till we opened up with the 60 over him and fired up the area and fired around. I had kind of seen as we started to move, I knew nobody was where I was up on the side of a little bit of a hill. I seen this twig pop up out of the mud. And as soon as that had popped up, I knew we were going to get hit, and we got hit. So Evers is down on the ground bleeding, and he's saying to me, he says, Alan, Alan, get my stuff. So he had his stuff in his Connex can, little ammo can that you keep your personals in. What he was asking me to get was take the weed out of the can. So
the officers wouldn't get it, right?
Yeah. So we had done that, and we broke down his rucksack and stuff, and we carried his stuff. They had taken him up in the basket on the helicopter, so we were down again. More artillery was coming, and the guys were running up from the rear to the front in order to fire support for us. They put Evers in the basket. He was shot in the head, and on the way up, he gave us the peace sign. So we knew he was going to be all right, even though he was shot in the head.
Awesome. That's Mike, a great story. Alan, thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you,
that was a good story.
Yeah, stick around.
All right, thank you, Mike.
We got to send a real quick break. We're at the Duck Creek VFW.
Right.
Back right after this.
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The ink wasn't yet dry on the Indian Citizens Act of 1924 when voter suppression of Native Americans began. Natives have been fighting for their right to register and vote, proper representation, and fair voting districts ever since. The Brennan Center for Justice writes that for decades, Arizona disenfranchised Native Americans because they were, quote, persons under guardianship. New Mexico's constitution stipulated that people who didn't pay taxes, including natives on reservations, could not vote. The Voting Rights Act of 1965 prohibited these suppression tactics, but the U.S. Supreme Court's 2013 Shelby decision opened a floodgate of new Native suppression in Arizona, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wisconsin, Nevada, and other states. Recently, proof of citizenship and voter ID laws have targeted natives, some of whom don't have an ID or live in remote areas without street numbers. Counties have used at-large voting districts to dilute native voting power or remove drop boxes or polling places, forcing voters to drive sometimes more than 100 miles to vote. What can be done? The federal Native American Voting Rights Act is stuck in Congress, but New Mexico passed its own version in 2023. The John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act restores protections stripped from the 1965 Voting Rights Act, and the Freedom to Vote Act would expand voting access for all Americans. We have resources at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say, the brave men of the Green Beret.
Hey, welcome back. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, Mino the Mayor here at the Duck Creek VFW, celebrating what we have to be thankful for, which in this room, I think every single person here would have all sorts of things to be thankful for.
Amen.
And I guarantee you, one of the things to be thankful for is a person that really has their back compared to years ago when they first came back. And that man's name in Brown County is Joe Olick, Veteran Services in Brown County.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot, John. Glad to be here and glad to be sharing Veterans Day with my fellow veterans.
I'll tell you what, Joe, these guys, when we talk about some of these stories that, you know, they had the post-traumatic stress. I don't know if it was even diagnosed as that at times. And I talked to an Iraq vet yesterday. You know, he tried to self-medicate when he came back with alcohol and different things. And the organizations that you guys have formed and the open door policy that you have,
right,
it's a whole different world versus what it was 40 or 50 years ago, isn't it?
Right, yeah. The county veteran service officers, there's 72 in the state of Wisconsin. There's 13 tribal veteran service officers. We're fellow veterans. We're here to advocate and fight for those benefits for our fellow veterans, and I've been doing it for 25 years. I'm the longest serving veterans officer in the state of Wisconsin.
That's outstanding.
And Joe, it's progressing. I mean, you've done over 25 years. You've seen a lot of programs that maybe they were looking for that you went and fought for, and now they're available.
They've evolved, yep.
Right, exactly. Post-traumatic stress wasn't recognized till the 90s, but now, of course, it's really recognized. And in August of 22, they passed the PACT Act, and that opened the door for the burn pit exposure in Iraq and Afghanistan. It opened the countries of Thailand, Guam, and Cambodia for Agent Orange exposure. So if you're a veteran and you're listening to this and you haven't applied or looked into your benefits, benefits. You have to do that. And a lot of veterans, I was just talking to a veteran, he's like, other veterans need it more than I do. No, you need it, and your family needs it, because this will change the trajectory of your life.
Right. And Joe, I want to get the point across that if they've applied and will refuse, that you should apply again, because things have changed.
Right. It's always good to, you know, stop in. If you applied a long time ago and you were denied, we've gotten better at what we do.
Right.
We've gotten smarter. We figured out how to crack that case in the VA. So it's always good to check in once a year. Give the office a call, 920-448-4450. We'll check those benefits. You don't have to come down. We do 90% of our stuff right over the phone.
Right.
Get in your leisure chair. Call us. We'll file that claim.
Joe, I was talking to a Vietnam vet the other day, and I asked him about Agent Orange if he thinks. He says, no, the only thing I ever came down with afterwards was diabetes, and I'm sure it's because of my diet. And I said, no, get this checked.
Right. There's 55 conditions connected to Agent Orange exposure. Diabetes, prostate cancer, hypothyroidism, bladder cancer, you name it. It's probably on the list. And also, again, back to the burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan, there's 32 cancers now connected with that. Camp Lejeune, the toxic water, conditions with that. Don't think that you know your benefits. Well over 50% of veterans are unaware of these benefits. Don't try to navigate it yourself.
Right.
This is a specialized field. Again, I've been doing it for a long time.
And don't read something from a year ago and assume that's the gospel.
Exactly. Right. And don't listen to your fellow veteran in the local in the local VFW. If you want to know, you call Joe.
Well, I want to underscore what you said about that 50% of the people are unaware, and, you know, how do you get it where? I mean, you're out here. I see you, and Johnny does a great job of getting out.
You got to make that phone call. You got to call it. You call your county veteran service office. You got to have a conversation and just review it. Right. That's
right.
How you become aware. You know, I was just talking to another veteran. He said, "I'm not going to file that claim." Hey, when in doubt, you file the claim.
Right.
When in doubt, you file the claim.
Worst that could happen, they deny it, but you got to try
it.
Yep.
Right. But we do about 80% of our claims we appeal, so we got about a 75% success rate.
So the upside benefits, mortgages, education, there's a lot of that out there as well.
Right. Especially if you end up with that 100%, we call that the red carpet, right? You get your property tax refunded, free health care for the family and the kids. You get federal education for college, no tuition, because then in the state of Wisconsin, every veteran in this room has 128 free credits at UW colleges and tech schools. Every veteran. Wow. If you get that 100%, now your kids have that, right? If you get over 30%, your kids have that. So, you know, the benefits are there, and this is so complicated and technical. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Give us a call.
And, you know, another thing, though, too, I know recruitment is down through most of the branches, and somebody said, wow, they get a lot of benefits, but it's like when I was growing up, the draft, I mean, my three brothers of mine were going to get drafted if they didn't enlist, and that was the big thing. And they talked about an all-volunteer military. It's like, well, that'll never happen. There'll never get enough people.
Right.
So with these benefits,
that's
been the inducement and the incentive for a lot of these people.
Right.
And they are improving as we go. So people still need to check those out, don't they, Joe?
Yeah. And, you know, it's a great incentive to serve. It's kind of why I served, you know, the education and just the world travel. You know, I lived 4.5 years in Alaska, best assignment I ever had. And so, you know, there's a lot of good things to the military. Military, the discipline, it takes comes with you the rest of your life, so it's real positive.
And Joe, to get in contact with you, call that number. If the veteran is hesitant, you'll take the call from the spouse or the daughter or the son?
Yes. Oh, yes. We have daughters and sons. They call us, right? The kids call us. Hey, you know, my father is suffering from this. What do you think? And we have that conversation, and then that kind of opens the door for us to call, you know, mom or dad, right? We got female veterans. And when they realize we're a fellow veteran, we're not the federal VA, okay? That's one thing you got to remember. We're not the federal government, and we're county government, right? And we're fellow veterans, and we've been there. We've been through the process, right? So we can guide you through that. It's going to be easy and simple for you.
Right? And you know what? Just want to make this statement. Guys and women, I want to make sure women know that too.
Right.
It's okay to ask for a helping hand or whatever you want to
call
it.
Yeah, that's a good one, John. You know, as veterans, we're taught to be independent, right? Not ask for that helping hand, right, in the service. Well, that doesn't serve us very well in the civilian world. And we need that support network, that camaraderie. We had a group of men and women around us. They had our six. We get out. We're just kind of floating around here. And that's where we see the crisis 5, 10, 15 years post-discharge is when they really start to struggle. But when they find our office, they see that support network. It's like the Veterans Treatment Court, which is a good segment you
yeah.
did, right? So that Veterans Treatment Court, we circle around, we get that team around that veteran, help them unravel, help her unravel those things, 75-80% success rate.
Outstanding. Joe, what you guys do is so vital to our veterans and their lifetime. They're pretty well taken care of once they raise their hand and say, I'm ready, willing, and able
right.
to serve.
Right.
And when they say thank you for your service, yeah, and
amen.
You walk out the door,
yeah.
that's where you guys step
yeah,
in and take it from
there. We're saying thank you every day.
Right.
We're filing about 6 claims a day in the office. We have just the veterans in Brown County have a $400 million economic impact in Brown County alone.
That's incredible.
How do they get in touch with you?
So the state website, www.wicvso.org. That's all 72 of us and,
right.
and 13 tribes for Brown County. Even if you call my office and you need to figure out how to go to your office, 920-448-4450. I've helped with people across the nation. If you want to know, you call Joe, right?
Beautiful.
So
that's
like
our motto. You want to know, call Joe.
So give me a call, and I've talked to people in California and Florida and Texas and directed them and got them hooked up with their CVSO, changed their life forever.
Thanks for doing
Beautiful.
That, Joe.
Joe
God bless
Alec, you. Veterans Service Office, Brown County. You do a remarkable
Thanks,
job.
John.
Appreciate working with you on so many different endeavors.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going, okay,
Amen.
Buddy?
Amen, amen.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
Joe Alec, join us. We'll be back with more right after this.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy this morning, becoming mostly cloudy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 33, with wind out of the west at 5 to 15. Breezy with flurries tonight, low of 18. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 27. Saturday, partly cloudy, with a high in the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. My name is the mayor here at the Duck Creek VFW, celebrating Veterans Day, celebrating everything we have be thankful for. Ronnie Umentum is joining myself right now, and the mayor. And Ronnie is part of my 50 Strong book, and he also hosted one of the great events. Jim, you and I have been at, what, thousands of events and different things?
Oh, yeah.
Thousands. And I can honestly say the event we held at Ron's house a couple of years ago is one of the most memorable events I've ever been at, not just for me, but for all the people there. He hosted a party for all the people in my book, 50 Strong. It was World War II, it was Korea, and it was Vietnam. And you want to talk about three different eras getting together in a setting they've really probably have never really been in
sure.
before, and they all meshed. Ronnie, wasn't that an amazing afternoon?
It was one of the best days I had, and thank you, John, for putting that together. It brought all Vietnam, Korea, and World War II vets together. We had three World War II vets there, And one of the things they argued about, who was the oldest.
Yes. I think 98 won out.
Wow. And 98 won out, and I remember one of the vets leaving, World War II vets leaving. He had such a good time, he actually had a tear in his eye when he left. He said he had never attended an event like this.
It was so great for all you guys to mesh. Like, you know, Ronnie, long-lost brothers.
You know, Ronnie, we talk about the sacrifices you've made, and we've heard and read, of course, in Johnny's book, some horrific stories, but that camaraderie just really seems to not make up for it, but, man, that's an important thing to you guys. And to host that with a different wars together, that must have really been a special vibe in that room.
That was very special.
Vibe is the best word.
That's for sure. And that was a very great event that John had put together.
But you hosted the whole thing. You put it all together.
We understand how John, it's John's idea, but you paid
absolutely
for it. So let's just cut to the chase.
John has ideas. Other people do the work. Almost exactly like he was mayor.
We did have a lot of good refreshments that day.
Yes,
so
we did.
It really loosened the tongue.
But you guys would never have done that 10 years after Vietnam. How long did it take you to tell people you'd been in Vietnam?
It took me 12 and a half years before I told anybody. When I went to the wall in Washington, D.C. for the dedication, that's when I finally became a proud Vietnam veteran.
That's awesome. That's great. You know, we're just really sorry that you went through that.
Yeah.
But I think, don't you think we're trying to do better? The country's doing better?
Oh, yes. It's doing much better than when I came home. And I remember one time, I think the first week I was home, my mother wanted to go to church with me, and she said, "Will you wear your uniform?" I could not put that uniform back on because I was afraid I was going to be harassed.
Ugh.
And I remember coming back. We landed in California, and we had to go to San Francisco to fly out. I was with three other guys. We all went to the bathroom together. Three guys tore their uniforms off and threw them in the garbage. I wore mine because I had to get on a plane again. Of course, we were on military standby. We couldn't even fly. We had to wait for an open spot on the plane. And three guys got on the plane with no uniform because they didn't want to be recognized. I refused to take mine off.
Good for you.
So when I did get home, I did take it off and would not put it on again because I was afraid I was going to be harassed.
So that 11 and a half years that you went through, what brought you to where you're here? You're sharing your story. You're in schools. You're
helping others.
Helping others.
I guess being a veteran, that's what we're all about. Take a look around here today.
Right.
These people, each and one of them, have their own stories. They have their stories about volunteering and helping. That's who we are. We didn't just stand there and take that oath that day. We took that oath for life.
Ronnie, some people came back from Vietnam and there are certain things they missed. Did you ever want to eat rat again?
No.
Tell that story.
Okay.
Breakfast is over, so go ahead. Tell the story.
Yeah. That's what's in the sausage today. Did you know that? They did it special for you.
I know. I had the tail end of it.
Yeah.
Nice.
We were going through this village, and a friend of mine, Mike, said, "You have to try these sandwiches." He says, "They're really good." So as we're walking through the village, Sherry, we see Mama-san on the side of the village road. And she was making these sandwiches. She said, "You have to try these." So she sliced this bread, like a French bread.
Right.
And you look at it, because they always put bugs in their bread. They didn't waste anything. And they put that in there for protein. So I could live with that. And then she put these little strips of meat on there. And it almost looked like beef, but a little shorter. And she put some lettuce on there, and then with some hot sauce. And she gave me the sandwich, and I took a bite, and I said, "Oh, Mama-san, number one sandwich." And I was saying it was really good, and she couldn't understand me. And the Vietnamese lady behind me makes a squeaky noise. She goes, "E-e-e-e-e." She goes, same, "E-e-e-e-e." And then she said, "It was a rat sandwich." That was my last bite.
I was going to say that.
Love that.
But Mike did eat his and mine.
Oh, my goodness. You had some amazing experiences that we documented, of course, in the book 50 Strong. One of my favorite ones, though, is when you volunteered for a mission with the Navy SEALs Very hazardous mission, but this is how bad you guys wanted a good meal. They said they would give you a Navy breakfast if you went on this unbelievably hazardous mission. He's like, and I get a breakfast, a real breakfast? They're like, yep, I'm in, right?
Wow. Never got that breakfast.
You didn't get the breakfast?
No. All that the Navy owes you.
But what was that like sitting out there on that island that night and you saw those Viet Cong moving towards you?
Well, there were nine of us, and we didn't know what our mission was until we got on the boats with the SEALs. And they said that they were supposed to hit a battalion, which is about 450. There were nine of us. I didn't know the other eight guys from a bale of hay. And we set up the ambush. And about what 12 o'clock in the morning, or 12 o'clock, the sergeant came and said, hey, we've been on missions all day, and we're tired. We're only going to keep two guys awake at a time. I want you to start. And they put me right in the trail. The trail was just like a cow path, you know, what those look like, because it was heavily used. So I pulled my guard. I put my camouflage blanket over my head. I woke the guy up next to me, and just to make sure that he was awake, and I asked him where his grenades, where his claymores were, so I laid back and I covered my head up with this camouflage blanket, and I think I was under about 10 minutes. You can fall asleep pretty quick when you're tired. I immediately woke up because I had mosquitoes trapped under the blanket. So I sat up. As I sat up, I saw them coming maybe 50 feet away. There were four of them.
And the guy that was supposed to be at guard duty?
Was sleeping. And I had no chance. They were couldn't throw a grenade, couldn't blow the claymores. And what you don't want to do at night, you don't want to use your weapon because of the flash. You give away your position.
Right.
But anyway, We got out of that thanks to the SEALs coming off the river, because we had two river boats. We had our two batteries of artillery were already pre-zeroed in. We had the jets on standby. They were flying over. We finally got onto the boat, and before John had said that we were promised a breakfast. Well, the breakfast the Army wasn't getting wasn't like what the Navy was getting. We were actually going to get bacon and eggs.
Wow.
So we got on the boat. Well, they didn't take us home right away. They tried to insert us behind the battalion. And we didn't last very long there. And we had to get back to the river, and they said, hold your ground till morning. Because they forgot where they dropped us off. We couldn't call our artillery. We didn't know our position.
You're stranded.
So we got back to the river, got in the water with only our heads sticking out. They picked us up in the morning. I got on the boat. And I'm thinking, good, finally we can get that breakfast.
Right.
Well, be damned, we headed down the river. They turned around, brought us back to the Army base. So every Navy guy out there, just remember one thing, you owe me a breakfast.
Boy, do you. Boy, do they.
But doesn't that signify as far just as how desperate you are for the little things that right. we could get on, and Mom would make me bacon and eggs and pancakes, yeah. whatever, every day of my life, and these guys would go on a death-defying mission. Right. For a good breakfast. I mean, the basic essentials of life. Hey, Ronnie?
The other message in that story, though, Johnny, is just how they took orders. Because you and I would have been like, we ain't turning this boat around.
No.
we're getting breakfast. But you just, you did what they said. And you were on a mission. You guys listened well and just served this country unbelievably well. And I, you know, Johnny really knows this stuff. I'm hearing these stories as I spend more time with him. And just God bless you. And I'm so glad you look like life is good to you now.
Well, it's been pretty good. I've been lucky. Yeah.
But we have to talk about this, too, because we had Chuck Wellens on our radio show yesterday or the day before. Yesterday, wasn't it? Or the day before. Whatever. And we were talking about how he was on a hill overlooking Khe Sanh in late December of 1967. And he was on guard duty in the bunker because he was the new guy, so he got the worst shift. And he was just amazed. He found Armed Forces Radio, and they had the ice bowl on. And he talked about how amazing that was. And he went to Premontre High School, you know, right there with you guys. And listening to the ice bowl in this godforsaken place was just such a small joy.
It was a large joy.
Yeah, not a small joy. It was a large joy.
He was.
But the funny part is, the ironic part is, when we were sitting there at Ron's party, and Chuck's telling this story, and Ron goes, I can show you where I was during the Ice Bowl. And he takes out this classic picture of when the Packer fans are tearing down the goalpost, and Ron's on top of the goalpost tearing it down. And a year later, he was in Vietnam. Is that the truth?
That is the truth. And Kenny Vanhoel said he heard the same thing. And you went around and asked where everybody was. Most of them were at Quezon or at Contien.
Contien, yep.
But I was on that goalpost.
It's amazing what a difference a year can make, right?
What a difference the temperature was at that time.
Ron, when you look back at how great the camaraderie is now with you guys, you might see each other once or twice a year, but, man, you guys just revert back to that brotherhood, don't you?
Well, we sure do. And in fact, I do get together with my platoon yet every other year, and we got in touch with each other. It was 43 years after we were out of Vietnam. We started getting together, and we have a reunion every other year.
Isn't that great?
I have to ask one more story, though. You know, everybody thinks that when you're in war together, everybody's peace, love, and brotherhood. Talk about the difference between the Yankees and the Southerners and a situation you had that you just could not believe in regard to the Civil War.
I had a gentleman who was in my squad. I was a squad leader, and we were talking about the Civil War. And, I'm sorry, we were talking about the North and South Vietnam. If we left, who would win?
Sure.
And I said, well, I think the North would win because now they've depended so much on us that they don't have the will to fight. So then he turned the tables on me, and he said, well, what would happen if we had a war back in the United States? Of course, I took the position, hey, I'm from the North. We would win. We've got the population, we've got the industry, and I think we would win. Well, he got so angry, he pulled his M16, locked and loaded, and he had death in his eyes. But it wasn't his.
It was still the Civil War.
It was still the Civil War.
Yeah.
My platoon sergeant got the weapon away. We went outside, had a few blows, and he went down. And I asked him, he had to be removed from my squad because I couldn't work with him anymore.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
He may need a little counseling.
unfortunately, he didn't make it back.
Yeah, but he was like trouble, right?
Yeah,
some guys. Didn't you have another guy from the South didn't know how to tie his boots?
It was called one of the McNamara morons. They were drafted because the government didn't want to upset the people going to college. So what they did is they drafted these people who couldn't even shoot. They were lied to about their target shoot. Some of them couldn't even tie their shoes. And we had one of them. His first name was Danny. And he'd be walking out. His rucksack would be like, he'd be walking like, what was that, Bernie? Bernie, or he was dead and he was walking.
Oh, yeah. Weekend at Bernie's, yeah.
And I walk up to him. I says, Danny, pull your rucksack up. You're going to get tired. You're dragging it. And then he'd drink all his water. He would, and finally I said, we went out one night on an ambush. I said, can you set up your claymores? I'm going to go check on the rest of the guys. Well, in the morning I went out and see how his claymores were set up. And he had them facing up in the air.
Wow.
So I had him removed from my squad, and he became what a...
You found a perfect job for him,
and he did. He was a crap burner.
And he loved it, right?
I tell you what, he probably was the smartest guy in the platoon.
He was the best crap burner in Vietnam. Ron, you meant to.
That's
thank
funny.
You so much for being here, buddy. Thank you for all you do for your brothers.
Yeah.
And thank
You're
you.
You're awesome, Ron.
Thanks for great
God
service.
Bless you.
Mine on the Mayor, Decorate BMW. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Selling your cattle is easy with American Foods Group, a family-owned company bringing you the best prices and expertise right from the dairy, ranch, feed yard, or local market. Call today at 800-345-0293 or email info@AmericanFoodsGroup.com.
The Todd Allbush Show.
Trevi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're ever going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life. The
way sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Duck Creek VFW, the annual Veterans Day breakfast, which is so phenomenal, and talking about Thanksgiving and all the things we have to be thankful for, and we're with Ken. Ken, how you doing? It's good to see you here.
Good. Very good.
You know, we were talking about something, first of all, about, because you were in Vietnam, obviously, and, you know, people could talk about Vietnam and the trials and tribulations, but it didn't end when they got back, and it's a quiet story almost. As far as what happened with some of the vets once they came back in the early days. Could you expound on that a little bit, Ken? Because you know it from a personal level.
All right. Yeah, a good friend of mine from high school, he was back, and I think he's working at one of the paper mills, and wasn't back 6 months, and he was on 29, and he committed suicide. And just so many people like that. And I know we used to go to Jamaica for winter vacation, and Negril, Jamaica is a community of all Vietnam veterans that tent out there. This was back in the 90s, and just a tent city of all people from Vietnam that were living there. Yes, so a lot of them there, they go up in the mountains, they go away and hide. I was very fortunate when I was there. I went over as a jungle expert, Panama, 4th Infantry. And I got to stay in a camp and worked on the psychological part of it more than the other. But I seen the guys come into our camp that were in the fields, and they come in looking like dogs. It's just unbearable. Good friend of mine was shot up in a foxhole, and the after stories of it, people that just are not the same.
Can I think and. We're working on that a little bit today, right? The camaraderie that is being experienced here, and it's just there's a true brotherhood here. Mm-hmm. I think you're doubly blessed, though. You hail from a pretty good family.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, there's only 12 of us, so
it was so had some support, huh?
Yeah, and my oldest brother was in the National Guard. My next brother had trichy. My next brother had asthma. Then there was a sister. Then it was me. Went in. Then the brothers after that were in National Guard. The war was pretty much over. So yeah. I was a lucky one to go.
But they supported you. I mean, I think you and the community, you're giving back now. I mean, you're here today. You've had a great career here in Green Bay. Do you think we're doing the right things here to get people to feel good about the service they gave to this country?
Yes. Yes. I was very appreciative. For 2 years now, I went to Lineville School. I got three grandchildren there now, and they have a big ceremony for you every year. And each veteran gets up to speak and say where they were, and I was here, and I fought for my grandchildren. And Very emotional. There's probably 100 veterans there.
And, I got to tell you something, Ken, if I jump in. That is so, when you mentioned grandkids, I've got several Vietnam vets who didn't talk. Their kids would ask them to come and speak to classes. They wouldn't do it. They're like, nobody wants to hear. But when the grandkids ask, it was like a whole different thing. It's like, well, I can't let down my grandkids. And that really helped these guys because these kids would pay so close attention and ask such poignant questions. That really helped many grandkids help Vietnam vets come out of that shell, didn't they, Ken?
Yes. Yes, they did. And I've got 10 of them. Oh. And they're all so – I got calls and texts all day long. And, I just feel so appreciative. So much more is happening to veterans now than back then. I went back and took a job that I had working at Channel 2 because I was guaranteed my job back. So I bought a new car with my $3,000 from the service benefit.
How much was the car and what was it?
$3,000, a 70 Chevy Camaro.
Nice. Yep. Good for you.
If you still have that, that's worth more than $3,000.
Right. It rusted out.
Okay. Anyway, at the car museum, they have a bunch of Camaros there at this time. You know how they change it out? Go down.
Yeah, go pick one out.
Just tell you, pick one out. Johnny will take care of it.
He's selling mine on the Marathon.
He's selling a lot of books today.
Yeah, we'll take care of
it. Yeah.
So you came back, you did that, you got your job back, which of course.
And I worked a couple months, and it was slow in the wintertime, and we always have the telethon.
Yeah.
That's the exciting part. Little story about the telethon. It's not really veteran related, but I had to put a camera and I had to put a microphone on Cheryl, what's her name? She used to have the puppets. Cheryl with the puppets, whatever.
With the eyes?
A real pretty girl.
I'll get to that. Go ahead. Tell your story. I will.
Anyway, I had to put the lavalier around her neck for the microphone and it dropped down between. She had the puppets in her hand. And what are you going to do? You got to get it out, Ken. So I had to go in there and get it out, whatever. So I was kind of embarrassing.
Were you married at the time, Ken?
No.
Okay. Would you have told that story when you went home?
Yeah. I don't know. It was on TV. No,
you might not have 10 grandkids right now if you did.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken, what were some of the reasons? You were in the psychological aspect of it. What are some of the main causes that they had problems?
I think just being away from home, the idea of not knowing what's going to happen the next day, the next minute, and you just come back as a different person, because I was so proud to come back to America after being over there. You couldn't drink the water. There's just a lot of things that you couldn't do over there. But it was just psychologically on these people that just to see somebody get killed, it had to just been devastating.
And such a young age that those kids experienced that. I don't think people realize how young you were when you were there. You're what, 19, 20?
19. And that's the age to go. I've got a nephew that's in the service right now. He's got 6 more years. He spent a year in Iraq a couple years ago. He's 40-some years old. He might have to go back again. But it's so tough for him now at 40-some years old. When I was 18, I was ready to go and conquer the world. That's a great time to go. Somebody said, I wish he had a draft back. I wish they did.
Yeah. All right. Well, Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd. Yep.
That's the Muppet lady.
Cheryl Ladd. Yeah.
You got that personal with Cheryl Ladd.
Cheryl Ladd. I mean, that's... Well, I want to see...
You know, Ken, I hold you in a little high esteem from the moment you walked up here. Wow.
It was strictly work.
Hang on, Ken.
Yeah, it's all work.
I'm going to give you that bow. I'm not worthy.
It's all work.
Ken, thank you so much for your service in Vietnam and everything you've done for our veterans.
You're welcome.
Say hi to your mayor, Veterans Day Duck Creek, back after this.
Say hi to your great family, too.
Don't go anywhere. The guys will be right back in just a little bit on a very special Thanksgiving edition of Mino and the Mayor.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
From the Lake Shore to Lake Winnebago.
Door to Fond du Lac counties.
Northeast Wisconsin is special for many different reasons. I'm Lisa Hale.
And I'm Terry Barr. Family and fun.
Safe communities and friends. We're featuring all of it as part of New Wisco Weekend, a news magazine show just for you, and highlighting what makes the Fox Valley and Green Bay area a great place to live.
Join us.
New Wisco Weekend, Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS and the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
Max Inc. Radio.
We're replaying the amazing live performance from an 11-year-old, plus new music from around the state. I'm Terry Barr.
Saturday and Sunday night starting at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Thank you for listening to WISS Berlin, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston.